sweetie, right?
Mic check. Mic check. 1, 2. We're into that.
Okay, from the beating heart of Nutmeg Country.
Cable actuated and opinionated.
This is Alt Bike Now.
Alternative radio.
For alternative cyclists. I'm your host, Ronnie Romance.
And I'm Aria Holm. Thanks for joining us.
And it is great to have you home, sweetheart.
It's nice being home. The humidity agrees with me.
Yes, yes, yes. My hair is a little frizzy right now. Can you give me a real-life report back on the state of my hair?
I actually think your hair is really nice because it gets the nice waves. And
yeah,
you have
waves.
That like natural ombre balayage thing going on in the summertime.
Yeah, folks, a lot of people think I dye my hair. It's
people
natural.
Say that about his dad, too.
Yeah, right.
Captain Pete has amazing hair. He
like
gets
my
it from
tits,
his father.
They're all natural.
Yep. Okay, so natural.
Well, you had a really nice time in Portland, didn't you?
I really did.
Bike City USA, because last week, folks, if you recall, we had Aria here on a hotline.
Mm-hmm. Hotline Bling.
Yep, in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I had a nice time with Sal from Shovel Research. We hung out with Rie from SimWorks. Did a little climbing.
Inside the Chris King.
I didn't hang out in there, but we hung out afterwards because we're like friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like friends. And, you know, just spending time with her fiancé. Getting food.
What was the best meal you had in Portland while you were
That's
there?
That's a really good question. I like that Greek place.
Bluto.
Yeah. I had a really nice bean something there, brother.
I mean, if it's made of beans,
it
can't be bad.
It was really hot, so it was nice to have, like, chilled Greek bean.
Oh, a cold Greek bean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
Well, headlines right into
yeah,
it?
Let's get into headlines. We have to... I think that the Kennedy curse has made its way down from Massachusetts to Connecticut because all of the people that we've been following on the Tour Divide and others have not been doing very well, and they've just run into some bad luck here. We'll start with Ron's cousin, Matt. He got a live text from last week.
Right,
what happened there?
Yeah, if you all tuned in last week, you may have heard a unique moment in live radio when you get a live text message from somebody out on the course, on the Tour Divide course. Thank you for the music. Live, local, and late breaking.
I'm getting better.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff we offer here on Alt Bike Now. My cousin Matt, who was doing the southbound Tour Divide Grand Apart, did something terrible to his wheel and ended up having to walk 30 miles to the U.S. border. Interestingly enough, Riley Osgood, who we shouted out last week, who is, I think he's in his late 20s or so, and he had a really nice Tour Divide rig of the Tour Divide setup, if you recall. Well, we had shouted out both of them, and this was just cute how this happened. And no longer than maybe like the next day or something, Riley sends me a update from the trail, and it's a photo of him helping my cousin. And he said, yeah, it looked like he had a long way ahead of him. We tried our hardest to get that wheel repaired, but it was a no. So then I got a text, I think, like a few hours after that from my cousin saying that he had scratched at the border.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, understandable.
So Cousin Matt's out.
Bailey
from Sincere is also out. Even though Bailey was doing really well, they just felt like, you know, every day waking up and trying to do this.
Bailey
is a lot.
Is it correct that Bailey currently held the single speed record or had set it?
Had
at point?
For a while.
Yeah, and hadn't
I'm
attempted
sure.
in a while.
Yeah.
So had a great single speed bike setup. Favorite rig of the Tour Divide.
On my end.
Yeah.
I saw that bike and I had to talk about it. So sorry, Bailey. I think we might have cursed you a little bit there. But,
truly being out there, you know, you've been out there.
Yeah,
plenty of times
I was
alone.
Actually looking through my photos and videos from 2023 and Yeah, there's a lot of like talking random stuff into the camera because I was pretty lonely out there, you know,
Happens quick.
after all of the friends bailed out in Montana. I had the hardest time. I think I made it like 2 more days, which goes to show you, like, we need each other as human beings. These efforts, I've always seen the tour divide as like a journey of like extreme pain, you know, kind of like the Sundance or these ceremonies where you go really out of body, out of spirit somewhere else. And these journeys are really important for people to take because you get so much from that collective unconscious that's up there all around us, but hard to access unless you go into deep levels of pain
And loneliness.
and
I guess
loneliness.
those are
So
synonymous.
I 100% support anyone who has gotten what they want out of that experience and are like, yeah, nope.
I used to, there was a movement years ago, pre-pandemic. I remember seeing this phrase a lot, being like, "Make bikepacking lonely again."
Is
And
that what brought on the male loneliness
could
epidemic?
be,
Oh no, we found the source.
it's confusing because as I don't think just males, I think everybody is encouraged to take on these in our individualistic society. We're encouraged to take on these long, lonely treks to find ourselves. Or, I don't necessarily find yourself, but find something about yourself, because that's undoubtedly what you may be looking for in those experiences. And as a before you and I started touring together, sweetie, for like the first 5 years, I was a lone puppy out there,
I know.
and it is lonely. And I was
Just a golden retriever with
just
no one to
a
compliment
little,
their hairs.
precisely. Thank you. And
You poor
it's one of
thing.
those things where you're reading about it and you're like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So you kind of make it a part of your personality, being like, oh, I don't need anybody. Or I think we kind of went through this during the pandemic too, when we were separated from our friends, face to face, where people are just like, well, having somebody else around is a liability. Like, I don't need anybody. I could do this all by myself.
Which is a
And
trauma
which is a
response.
trauma response. Or honestly, like, we've been really kind of taught that in our society. And so these feelings of loneliness when you're out there, for me personally, I can't, I know that enough about myself. I've let go of that, like, of that,
Well, I also think you've been through the hero's journey. I mean, that's what this is, right? Like the Joseph Campbell idea of you go and find something that you're like utterly transformed, and then you come back and realize how much transformation. And that is like the good gooey stuff that is in that universal archetype scene. I think it's important to do these things in life. Like you have to journey out. But I think once you have done that, and once you have had those transformative experience and you come back, you're like not going to maybe do that again right away. I don't know what it is.
Because it doesn't meld well. I mean, I had connections via Instagram and text messages and all this other stuff that really became like my lifeline to, if I weren't
That's the media empire.
right, the media empire that I was building at the time. I don't think without that positive reinforcement, because I would post something back then. It would be just one static image post from an iPod Touch, and I would get all these like comments and like people being like, hey, come by here or come by here. And then I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'll meet up with you there. Yeah, I'll ride over to that town. And you'd spend like 4 or 5 days riding to another town, but you knew at the end of that ride you were going to have some
You're going
social
to have some
interactions.
people.
And so that made it comforting. I knew I wasn't just out there bouncing around alone where no one really cared about me or.
It is gorgeous, though, the connections you do make when you're out there and
Yeah,
you
'cause you're
do find these
vulnerable.
people, and it's like finally someone to talk to, and they're so precious, like because of it. So
I've had some
that's a
creepy
fun
people
thing,
doing
but
that.
it is a lonely
It's a
thing.
lonely
You're
it's a
right.
lonely sport.
Like big caps, chapeau to Bailey for their effort. I mean, he was right there, and even more chapeau for letting or knowing when to say no, because that is the hardest thing. And I'm sure you could ask Lael Wilcox
Our
about that
third
right
for our
now.
third installment of people who are no longer out there, trying, not necessarily on Tour Divide, but trying long bikepacking trips.
Super hard things. I mean, the journey itself is hard enough as it is, but she had intense heat wave.
Yeah, no longer breaking news, but we'll give it to you straight. Lyle Wilcox is no longer in the middle of her attempt to ride around the world.
It was
faster.
The right call. It was the right call. I mean,
a heat dome, extreme temperatures in Europe, 104 degrees.
I mean, she said she's been feeling nauseous every day and threw up within the first hour. Those are the classic symptoms of heat exhaustion. And if you keep going with that, ooh, have some coffee. Nice. It's a bad situation, and we really need her to continue.
Need her to take care
of herself. Spirit is extremely vibrant, and I'm sure she's feeling all types of ways right now. So sending mad love to Lyle.
I guess this happened maybe 2 days ago. Did she call it?
Yeah, it was on Sunday, I believe.
Yeah. And if anybody has been, I mean, even last week, it was super hot in Europe, but she landed last week and I think she was on the plane when we last broadcasted, got off and rode across Portugal very quickly through into France. And then
France is
boiling right now. And
so
I was
bad.
Watching on her Instagram, they were stuffing her with ice cubes like every hour on the hour, seemingly.
Yeah.
And trying everything they could do to cool her off. And she was still making like 220 miles a day,
which is
20 short of her goal.
I mean, it was so hot in France that 40 people died of just drowning because they're
really?
Probably cooling themselves off. It was in the news. Like, that's how bad.
40 people died of drowning?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. 40 people drowned to death because, you know.
Swim lessons, Europe. We got to,
that's just something that happens, you know. But it just goes to show you what kind of boiling temperatures they're dealing with. And Lyle's right. They need to really consider climate change when trying records like this, because it wasn't just the heat wave in Europe. They were going across Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
They were
going
to go down into
Southeast Asia.
Bangkok, to Singapore, which is hot, humid. Like, it's just
frying pan. Reading what Mark Beaumont, the current record holder, did, was he was able to ride across Russia, which you can't do now. And, or you could do now, but as we've learned in the last few years, it's not Brittany Grainger. And then most recently Stefan so-and-so, the other French bikepacker who has a bunch of records.
Stefan,
he was detained for like a month in Russia for trying to break the record of riding across Europe earlier in the year. So no one messes with Russia anymore. So, but Russia is a cooler country. So if you could ride across that, it's going to be a lot easier.
And that's a lot of miles.
Having to deal with crossing borders and stuff. So, I mean, Lyle obviously wasn't going to be able to do that. So I think she was probably looking ahead, being like, you know, I know it was her crew that called it.
Yeah, yeah. And thank goodness, because riders really shouldn't be making those decisions.
No,
I mean, she's got tears. I mean, it is breaking her heart.
Well, it's a huge, I mean, I can't imagine being in her shoes for a multitude of reasons, but, you know, I mean, to have all of this fanfare around it and the money involved, it costs.
She was like, I shaved my head for this. Like, I did all of the things.
She did everything. And you know, Lyle tries, never does anything half-ass. And so to try this hard and still have it not happen and have all of this like wrapped up in it, we just wish her the best. Hopefully,
just send the homie a lot of love.
Well. Yeah. Hopefully she's recovering. And when we see her again, nothing but love.
And I know she'll try this again.
Yeah.
This is just, you know, information that she's processed to do it again. And I think that some of the best lessons we can learn is failing to Mother Nature is to me not necessarily failing, because you ain't never gonna win with the Earth Mother. She decides,
you know, even if it did cool down for the next part of her journey, like the stress on your body of of trying to ride 240 miles a day in heat like that, like it lingers, you know, that would come back.
And because the mileage was a little bit behind, she was a little bit behind. She had to catch up. Like, this is
not a great position to be in.
I'm glad that her team and her made this decision. I was very worried.
Now, since this is Alt Bike Now, there's been a little bit of, we got to talk about the scuttlebutt that was below the surface with other endurance athletes saying that, oh, you can't talk about climate change when you're out doing such a climate intensive record-breaking attempt where you're having to fly between all of the continents and have someone drive next to you and all this other stuff.
Okay.
What do you say about that?
Being climate change activists throughout my 20s and into my 30s, I would say, that is pointing the arrows at the wrong people. I mean, you're talking about one bomb exploding in Iran, and that is the CO2, like, output of Lael for 1,000, like, attempts like this, you know? Math is probably not, but, like, think about that.
Yeah.
Like, private planes that the super rich have, that is also a huge, like, you're just not going to be able to leave, like, a carbon footprint, which is kind of a made-up term by the fossil fuel industry. But anyway, like, pointing the arrows at the wrong people, I think, is a waste of your time, and you just kind of become the Debbie Downer. Like, well, every time you exhale, you're like, so you're not going to breathe. You're not going to. There are solutions, and it needs to come from larger systems. You cannot blame individuals and individual choices. The first thing was like, oh, don't drink out of plastic water bottles. Get these reusable water bottles. How many reusable water bottles are there in the world?
In this house alone.
I mean, that got me. I love these water bottles, and yet I'm not drinking water regularly. Like, it's not on the individual people. It's on systems. We got to think about systems.
What are you going to do, drink out of the toilet, folks?
Yeah. What am I, a golden retriever?
That's me.
Anyway, that's my little spiel. Yeah. I don't think there's any kind of like argument there that's left anymore. And people who make those arguments, I just think that
they're looking for an argument.
They're looking for an argument, and they maybe just learned about this stuff, and you know, they just need to go through the motions of learning more.
So
because it is hard to predict climate change stuff. I mean, we called it climate chaos because that's what it kind of feels like.
It's
kind of unpredictable. A heat wave here, a cold spell there.
Now, folks, addressing the scuttlebutt so you don't have to.
Just tell them to point their arrows up. Always point your arrows up. We've got a trillionaire in this world and a lot of starving children who are dying. So it's pretty ridiculous to point our arrows down.
But we've got bikes, folks.
And bike events.
Bike
to
events.
Make us a little less lonely. I just was very pleased to see that this bike shop in
one of our
La Chouette.
Yeah, I guess in the EU proper, our only dealer for Iran's bikes gear.
Oh, yeah, because the Woods isn't
the
EU.
The Woods cycle range is not EU. No, yeah, that's the
Mexit.
UK. They had Mexit.
That's when Meghan Markle left.
Meghan Markle? Oh.
That was called Mexit, because it was Brexit. Anyway, glad she's in the U.S. The friends at La Chouette are hosting camping and riding event called the Alt Duez. Isn't that clever?
What a fun play on words. That's what really grabbed out at us. We were, I think, just perusing the headlines, and we saw Alt Duez.
Alt. Instead of Alt Duez. It looks stunning. It's from July 22nd to 26th, according to their website. Go check it out. It looks really fun.
Late July. That's one of my former favorite chip companies.
He brings it up a lot, folks.
Changed the recipe. Yep.
Still mad about it. 5 years later. You get attached to a chip, you know?
It was a great chip. And it reminded me of the time of year being the greatest time of year because my birthday is July 29th.
Right.
Late July, it was. I felt connected to this chip company, folks, and it no longer fights for me. It's no longer in my corner.
I'm so sorry, sweetie. Yeah, I did love hearing you crunch on those chips.
They were thin enough that they didn't hurt my teeth, and they would just kind of the crunch and crumble was just. You just can't find that anywhere else to this day. Okay, well, Alt Duez, what does it entail?
Alt Duez.
Probably not great chips.
It's not.
Okay.
Yes. It's not going to be great chips, but yeah, they're still confirming the routes.
Are they going on the actual Alpe d'Huez?
Yeah.
So they ride up the mountain?
They have a lot of different routes that are going to be available.
Okay. This coincides with the Tour de France, the upcoming Tour de France. Can you believe that that is starting on July 4th?
Yeah. Yeah.
We won't talk too much about pro cycling right here. That's for the end of the show. But yeah, it's crazy that time is coming. It's coming up quick.
It is. They're saying, come join us in the French Alps for a long weekend of camping, riding, good food, and slowing things down enough to appreciate the mountains, the people around you. Ugh, this is it. This is Alt.
They've got a really cute
poster.
And there's a disc. You can get on a Discord for more information.
Yeah.
We have no idea what Discord is. But I hear it a lot. I hear about it a lot. No idea what Discord is. I think it's some sort of...
Is Discord that cord that is plugged into the kitchen?
Cute.
Kitchen phone? That cord that's longer?
Whose cord this?
Discord or that cord? We don't know. Please help us young people.
There you go. Yeah. So you got your Alt Duez. It looks like camping and riding in Alt Duez, the French Alps, during the Tour de France. So make sure you check out lachouetteparis.com. I have no idea how you spell La Chouette, but I do know how to say it, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, because he used to say La Chouy.
Did I?
Yep.
Or La Choute. So yeah, that looks fun. It's cool to see a lot of this stuff popping up. Well, there's a lot more, not just Euro meetups, but, around the world meetups for folks like us.
Very cool. 50 tickets at 350 euros for 3 nights, 4 days camping.
It's a pretty good deal for...
I mean, I would love to get taken around. Mm-hmm. I would do this. Mm-hmm. And it's a group that's like small enough where it could be intimate and...
You get all that. You get camping access stored for your bikes and gear, for your breakfast buffet.
A lot of croissants. Anyway, that sounds awesome. We wish we could go.
Someday.
Another a thing that I was just stoked about that I saw on my on my Instagram feeds and otherwise was the World Cup tourists coming to the U.S.? Have you been getting anything like this on yours? Maybe it's just me, because a cultural anthropologist.
Yeah, cultural. I don't understand soccer or football, like they call it. I love European stuff, Euro stuff, but I never, they didn't have soccer in Connecticut here when I was growing up. I swear, there was like soccer was not a thing.
It really wasn't. It was baseball during the early 90s.
And so I'm into, a lot of U.S. stuff makes me cringe, but I don't watch any sports other than cycling these days. But baseball has a special place in my heart because of the classic Americana of it. I think I don't follow it now because their pants are too loose and they don't do like the regulation sock, like the tall socks with the stirrups and everything, like the classic baseball outfit of the 80s and 90s. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
They're all wearing the aesthetic is not there for me.
Yeah.
So I don't watch. Same thing with basketball. The shorts are too big and they all get to wear those like spandex, like half arms. And you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They're all wearing like these strange, like it just nothing's, it, I don't know if it's, everyone's just getting like too optimized in these classic sports.
They are.
And it's just the aesthetic is ruined.
Yeah,
and
I know.
So for me, it's got to look right for me to actually be interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure other people out there are like that. But
yeah, I like to see humans doing superhuman things, which is what those athletes resembled.
Yeah.
And now they kind of look bionic, with the socks on their arms.
Yeah, what the heck?
Give me some texture. Give me something natural.
Yeah, just give me Dennis Rodman.
Oh, okay. That's natural.
Give me the worm. he has tiny ass shorts on. you know, funky hair, whatever, you know, hanging out with Pearl Jam. Mm.
And then later,
dating Madonna.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway,
so we
don't get icons like that anymore. So, anyway, yeah. It was nice to see that there is still global appreciation for the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly people were talking about how much they love ranch dressing, which is Ron's favorite.
Oh my God!
Liquid meal.
Don't even put me in the same sentence as ranch dressing. Oh, good God!
He just loves it. He'll He'll put it all over his fried fish. Which is his other favorite thing. No, people are loving the U.S. for our friendliness. You know, some Japanese tourist was talking about how the chips and salsa came out at a Mexican restaurant. It was just cute. You know, mm-hmm. it made me happy.
I mean, that is the sign. You do go to some Mexican restaurants where they don't keep the chips coming. And you're like,
as an American,
you're going to be like, this is our God-given right.
250 years of freedom for no chips and salsa.
Hello. Yeah. If I'm not completely spoiling my appetite on chips and salsa before the meal comes, then it's not America.
I know. I mean, and the Japanese were like, we didn't earn the chips and salsa. They're so sweet. But, you know, I just love cross-cultural exchanges like this, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. We are living in climate change reality, and that is going to bring about a lot more climate refugees. And it is imperative that we start forming pluralistic societies based on appreciation like this today.
We want to see Japanese people eating Mexican food in the United States.
Yes.
We want that. Is that plurality?
Yes, absolutely. We want to see the Scottish coming to Boston and out drinking the Irish.
The Irish of Boston.
the bars in Boston are saying that they drank three times as much as St. Patrick's Day. Like for when the world was there. Yeah. And it is gorgeous. I love to see it. I love to see cross-cultural exchanges and appreciation. I really like that.
Let's face it, you love the Scots.
And I do love the Scots. Great style.
Style? Yeah. On the soccer field?
Great style in general.
Kilts. You like kilts?
Absolutely. I like kilts.
And bagpipes.
I like bagpipes. I like kilts. I like a little bit of an attitude. Not a big fan of haggis.
I like the word more. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
can you haggis?
Does that mean can you hang
with this? Okay. So that's it for headlines. We'll save the race news after what's in the bike stand.
Yeah.
Moving on to real life report backs.
This is a real life report back.
Thank you, Jenny.
Well, we went bike touring, as I think a lot of people did. This could also fit in the headlines. It was the summer solstice this past weekend. So, of course, Swift Camp Out. You probably saw that a lot on your Instagram feeds.
Yep.
And we went camping the day before the solstice. So for our friend Troy Holly Bones on Instagram, shout out. I think this is maybe his fifth shout out on this podcast.
We talk about him every
single episode. Yeah. It was his birthday. And we always, I historically, we have always celebrated Troy's birthday for like a week because this is the kickoff to summer. This is the official start of summer. And for me, this is when it starts feeling like summer around here and Headlime also. And so our other friend, Jill Cruz, who we hadn't seen in a while, proposed a route up in the.
It's a tri-state.
Oh, yeah. We were calling it the Three Colonies Tour. So we had Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island all covered in this 80-mile loop.
Yeah.
And so we started.
Joe is an
expert route.
Amazing route builder. I was just guffawed the whole time. Jaws on the gram.
His website, I mean, he doesn't update his blog that much anymore, but for those of you
he's
not...
He's been everywhere.
Yeah, for those of you not read up on Joe Cruz, he is the chair of the philosophy department at Williams College and a cyclist since the... a mountain off-road cyclist since the 90s. and he takes his sabbaticals and his summers off to travel everywhere and has been doing so. I mean, this is one of the OG bikepackers out there. He's been pretty much everywhere, and he won't tell you about it unless you ask him. So that's a rarity also. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, or look at his blog or his Stravas. Just,
joe-cruise.com.
He's headed to, headed to Mongolia in 3 weeks.
Amazing. So anyway, let's talk about how it was Nam's rides again.
Also Nam's rides again.
So promises were made. Promises were starting to get kept.
Beginning to be kept. What is a promise anyway? You know, it's something that kind of blossoms over time. And I think this promise is actually blossoming right now.
Yeah, it's pro-mice.
Yeah, pro-mice.
Promise.
This route was going to be just an overnighter, Friday night. Mm-hmm. And we had not been bike camping since going to Sea Otter last year.
Together. I did a bike tour in February.
You did that one in February.
With 11 Asians.
Something that used to be our identity. And it's just, since the pandemic, we just haven't done it much anymore.
Yeah.
So I need I think in the pandemic, we started living in the woods full time. So the places that we would ride out to, we ended up living, and we have a swim hole and like all this other stuff. So it's like, let's invite our friends over to camp at our place.
I know. It's really nice. It's really nice and quiet.
It's a nice spot. So, but it is nice. I mean, I am reminded every time we do this that it is nice to just put the bags on and head out and sleep in a new place. I always sleep better when I'm camping.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just get into this little report. You know, you could see on my Strava, I got like 50 photos up from the overnighter.
Nice. So on the tour we said Joe, we said Troy, we had our friend Alexander Dyson.
Local pervert.
Local perv. Sorry,
I shouldn't say for the he's perverted for bike parts, folks.
Yeah. And he's very much in on the joke. Yes. So we're not making fun of Alexander. And then Ballsy, our favorite Balls.
Troy's partner.
Troy's sweetheart.
Wife, yeah, it's true.
And then, we camped, great interactions with locals. We went to this tavern that said bikers welcome. I think they mean the other kind of bikers, but they welcomed us too.
An authentic biker bar.
It was awesome. They were playing classic music.
I never go into bars. I've probably can count how many bars I've been in on one hand in my lifetime.
And love them.
But this one felt very authentic.
It was really
nice. This is in the woods on some lake in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. It was a tavern, had been open since 1850 or so.
Oh.
So it was an old building. Mm-hmm. And on the inside, it had the checkerboard floors and just a jukebox. Mm-hmm. And everyone inside were real bar flies playing on the jukebox, nothing but classic rock.
Classic rock.
Classic rock.
We were loving every tune that was being played.
And you guys ordered up a bunch of fried foods that I just had little tastes of because of my waistline.
Fried foods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
it was the best. I mean, Troy was like, I love jalapeno poppers. And before we were discussing whether or not. Yes. All right. Let's go. Troy was like, I love jalapeno poppers, because I was like, I love mozzarella sticks. And
who doesn't?
We manifested Caddy's Tavern. It was awesome.
Yeah. So after a nice fried meal of fried foods and light beers there,
we
basically just right out of that tavern, hit the trail again, right off road again. And then
it was great.
Then we just kind of, while the sun was on one of the longest days of the year, was on its way down, we just kind of cruised through this Jeep road area that was super chunky, but flowy and a little bit downhill. And we went over a hidden covered bridge that was on one of these Jeep roads, a Rhode Island covered bridge, which you don't hear about much.
Gorgeous.
And as the sun was going down, we came upon this giant lake. And it just seemed perfect. And so we set up camp, and there were a bunch of Jeepers and dirt bikers out there mudding.
Yeah.
And they were trying to
They were friendly.
They mess around with us a little bit, but then Joe approached them and made friends immediately. And then these Jeepers were just like all about us.
Yeah.
Right? They were obsessed with us. And luckily, all the Jeeps and everything stopped coming through there at like
3 a.m.
we slept through that one, though, thankfully. And woke up the next morning, I had some roly poly instant coffee that was hit the spot perfectly. And
I had tea, honey, and oat milk that you brought in.
We had brought in some pretty good stuff. I think the night before I ate some beans and avocado and a few other things. We were packing pretty light. And yeah.
And then in the morning, Brian Chapman of Chapman Cycles
and his crew showed up.
They rode with us for a little bit. And then we went to
the high point of Rhode Island, which is 817 feet, Jeremoff Hill.
Yep.
And it was great because as we were there, all of these sarcastic New Englanders came through and were like, yeah, needed
our oxygen tank to get all the way up here.
And be like, yeah, don't look too hard. You might miss it.
Yeah. It is really nice to take these like super chill, because everyone was in on that joke.
Yeah,
like every single person we saw was making that same joke, which I found really sweet and endearing. It's hardly a hill. Like we're just connected by a tribe of humor.
Like a high point in some of the Western states is going to be like this beautiful spanning vista, and you'd be like, wow, we're so high up here. But in Rhode Island, everything is bigger. That was a theme. We were like, So, it was really cool to, and then with Chapman's crew the next day, we got into some really chunky trails for loaded touring bikes. What was your bike setup?
What do you mean?
What bike were you on?
Oh, I was on the Lil Romeo, which is the Crest Romancier.
Which was, I think, a prototype disc chroma, one of the first. Yeah.
And I still have it after all of these years. Mm-hmm. I still ride the same, like, three bikes every day. Like,
people your size are never going to wear out bikes. Like, that's a nice thing about being around 100 pounds.
Small.
Yeah, like, a bike for you will last, like, the rest of your life.
That's cool, because I ride it so seldomly I ride it hard and then seldomly. But what was really nice about this tour is, like, you know, we've been covering the Tour Divide, which is this huge attempt with these huge, expansive views and big climbs and gorgeous mountain views. And then you have something like this bike tour, which wasn't an easy one, because it was like chunky.
Right. It's still 40 miles a day in Rhode Island.
It's still 40 miles a day in Rhode Island. And it felt fun and adventurous.
What was your bag setup?
My bag setup was the mini chest in the front.
Uh-huh.
I had my Tibetan flag frame bag.
And what did you have in the mini chest in the front?
In the mini chest, I had my sleeping bag.
Okay.
I had the tarp, and I had the ground cloth, and my sleep pad, and couple of
your sleeping bag and the sleeping pad all fit in the front.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
It did. And I had a really warm bag too, because you know I get cold.
Yeah, you had a 30-degree enlightened designed quilt. You were enlightened.
I was very warm,
and
actually.
A Thermarest NeoWear.
Yeah, which like was the, slowly really losing air throughout the night. And in the morning, I pretty much just woke up on the ground. But we always pick kind of soft, like pine needle.
Yeah, it was pine. Yeah. So then in the frame bag, what did you have?
In the frame bag, I had a 3-liter bladder. I had my like tool kit generally on the other side. And then I had a little cook kit. And avocado and a full bottle of Cholula hot sauce.
Guilty. I think that was my idea.
It was, well, I decided to take it because I was like, I'm not going to have hot sauce.
You can find those Cholula packets, you know, at the gas stations and stuff.
But
you don't think so? Yeah, the
you
bottle.
Can.
You can, but the bottle is a pro move.
You can really break out the bottle
and start dumping that. People are like, you got a bottle of hot sauce in there?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
And then, so I had that. And then in the back, I had that little tiny Akatanga
butt rocket,
which I had, I think, just my like sleep sweater and my sleep pants, which I did not need. I ended up de-panting.
Yeah, it was warm enough.
That's what nice, did you have on your bike?
I had my, I was going to bring my Alumax 2 because it's fun to load that bike up lightweight. But I've been messing around with it a lot as far as the shifting goes because I just haven't been able to decide on what like brake levers and shifting and all the stuff. I just mess with my bikes way too much. Not way too much, maybe just enough, but it was out of commission. So I already had a, that was not a fart. That was me moving on the seat.
Oh my gosh.
A vinyl seat, folks. Vinyl seat. So yeah, I brought my Rivendell Atlantis is basically always set up to and ready to go camping. And I had just redone the shifting on my Atlantis, actually. I had put on the, I think I talked about this a few episodes ago. I had put on the, I had put on the new Rivendell Silver OM1 rear derailleur, the Rapid Rise.
Oh, wow.
And I had not tried Rapid Rise since the Index, since Shimano brought it out for a few years and its inception in the early 2000s, Indexed. And it was like, oh, like, ah, whatever. This is hardly innovation. But as Grant, I got to give him credit. Once again, as Grant has said, Rapid Rise really comes to life when you use it friction. And I'm not using it just friction. I'm using Simplex retrofriction shifters, SLJs. So these things are, that's the nicest shifter you could use if you get them in good shape. And matched with this Rapid Rise derailleur, I'm telling you, I was shifting with my pinky. And I could pedal as hard as I could, being the wrong gear, like up a climb, you know, where otherwise I would suck my chain into every crevice into my bike, you know. And I'm able to shift under load, folks. With this Rapid Rise derailleur, because it sits, it wants to bring the chain up to the biggest cogs with its
I
spring.
Like the sound of it. The ka-chunk, chow.
Oh, you like that. And then, you like that kind of clunk. But this one,
I love it.
This one doesn't clunk. So you would lose that. This one, this one doesn't
bring
clunk
back the
at
clunk.
All. Like it is so smooth. Best shifting experience of my entire life. So I'll talk about this more, but I mean, I was shifting so much that I broke my shift cable. It's true, folks. It's true. Luckily it was towards the end, but even breaking my shift cable, it brought my, instead of having my gear be the hardest gear, because you know, with an ordinary derailleur, it just goes down to the smallest cog. But this derailleur starts at your largest cog, so it just brought it up to the 32 tooth in the rear, and I had still had three chain rings in the front, so I was able to use those three chain rings.
All right, save your derailleur.
Oh my God, I'm rant. That's my derailleur rant.
Tell
later.
Them why you're mad.
Yeah,
so I want to know about your generic.
I'm so sorry.
We went from, what bike were you riding? Do you see what I mean when I ask a direct question and I get a meandering answer through space, time, and bike technology? Of the 80s, 90s, and today?
My setup was on this
on my Rivendell Atlantis.
And I had a mini chest in the front mounted to my ortho bar.
Okay.
And inside that mini chest, that's where I carried the food. So I guess most of our food.
Yeah.
Tortillas, avocados,
I carried the avocados,
beans.
You
I had some
beans.
I had some ramen noodles, some... Oh, a bunch of bars, chocolate, cheese, cheddar cheese.
Did you have a frame bag?
No, I don't do frame bags.
That's right.
I don't do frame bags, folks, because I know that they're classic. I know people have been using frame bags for over 100 years, and I know how practical they are because they center the weight of your, you know, they center the weight between the wheels. But I just don't like the way they look, so I don't use them.
You don't like how they mess up lines on the bike.
They ruin the lines of the bike, and they never fit right. And, you know, it's just like, it just doesn't look right. Give me some water bottles. So I had my water bottles in the middle.
You had three.
Three water bottles. And then I had in the rear, I had a small chest resting a mini rack that my friend Hubert had made me specifically for the Atlantis years ago. So in that rear bag, I had my sleep system. We used our Hyperlite mountain gear inner pyramid bug net.
Which we definitely needed.
Yeah, it was buggy.
Holy cow.
And we love setting that up because we just kind of Yeah, it's just very nice, light and airy. It doesn't pack down real great because it's the Dyneema bottom. And Dyneema, folks, it's the lightest, really light material out there, not the most packable. So it's don't bulky. Let that fool you. It's yeah. bulky.
I feel like if you folded it the right way, yeah, you could just get the right really way, small.
You can get it really small. But
we're not folders.
Yeah, no, we're not folders. That's why
we're pilers. Use bags.
Stuffers. Stuff into our stuff.
We pile things.
So in that rear bag, I had that. I had my 45-degree Enlightened Design quilt. And I use just like wool long johns and a wool top to sleep in. It keeps my legs from like sticking together when you don't get to, although I did dunk into the lake right before bed, which helps a lot. And yeah, in there, I guess that's what I had. I don't think I had much of else. We didn't really need extra layers because it was warm. It's just a nice thing about camping this time of year, especially in New England, as opposed to out west. Out west, you probably still have to bring a down jacket or something.
Yeah.
Something because it gets cool at night. But, you know, camping in New England in the summertime, your nighttime
especially
lows.
Especially for just an overnighter.
For an overnighter. Nighttime lows, 65. You know, really? I think Troy came out with a silk liner. He's a greasy gorilla. He oftentimes overheats, but he was a little cold because we had some wind.
But
the setup felt great. It was, I mean, our second day especially was vastly off road on like hiking trails. And I was trying to ride everything I could because it's nice. The one thing about riding a loaded bike in these situations is you have really good traction
because
you've got automatically weight cantilevered over the both ends of the bike. So,
but then you also have the weight to carry over
precisely.
All of the.
But then once you have to put your foot down, you got to carry your bike. You know, so I mean, overall, I think it's really really fun for us to get out on these camp trips.
Yeah, I'm excited to do more.
But we were also like, man, I would love to be out riding this chunky stuff on a if we had maybe we were like, oh, we can do this 80-mile ride in one day,
you know,
unloaded, and fly through it and have maybe, you know, but the pace of bike touring is really cool where you're just, it's like a all day hangout with your friends.
I know.
And then a
sleepover. We had gorgeous weather too.
And we just, no one's trying to hammer. It's just a very cruisy pace. And
check in with your friends.
Check in with your friends.
Have little chats,
lots of little picnics. Lots
of LOLs.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really what it's all about, I guess. And you don't get that when you're trying to blast through something. Well, you know, you do, but it's in a different way. It's not nearly as nourishing.
Yeah. We need it all. Mm-hmm. That concludes our real life report backs. I hope y'all get out for some summer riding as well.
Yeah, I hope everyone had. I'm sure a lot of y'all went out camping over the solstice weekend because it is such a perfect weekend to celebrate the kickoff of summer. So hope everyone out there had really, really nice Swift campouts, whether you called it that or not.
Yeah. Solstice is something that humankind has been celebrating since the beginning of humankind. Mm-hmm, so go Homo sapiens. We made it.
Yeah, we made it.
So from positive to maybe a little bit of aggression, since you already started this.
Tell them why you're mad.
Tell them why you're mad, Ronnie. Because we've been not doing this for a while.
We have
so
not been
I'm sure you've been letting this kettle.
Oh my God, this kettle is boiling over. You know when you're cooking oats in the morning, folks, and it's that real thick, viscous foam coming over
just
the top of the pot?
Sludging out.
That's me right now. I just can't wait to dig into this one.
Okay. You have been mad about derailleurs?
I've been mad about derailleurs for a long time.
Since 96, probably? I'm
trying to think of
when all good music ended, according to
when everything good ended. You know, derailleurs, rear derailleurs, folks, let's get right into this.
Okay.
I thought about having all of these things, all of these derailleurs set up in front of me so I could just pick them apart. But
that would
be an entire episode. I wanted to talk about the size of derailleurs. I mean, it's really the size of what bugs me most these days. But as most of you know, the XTR M950, M952 are my two most favorite derailleurs. And I oftentimes find them at bike co-ops and on eBay. And I use them on my personal builds and customer builds. And it's just a great derailleur. I think it I think probably more of these derailleurs were made than any other derailleur in the history of derailleurs, because this was made at the peak of the mountain bike boom, and that's a peak that we have not seen. We're
what
maybe
peak?
Seeing.
What year is that?
That's like the peak of the mountain bike boom would probably be like 1994 to 1998 or so.
Okay.
And this is, you could compare this to gravel nowadays, like this is how big it was. So the industry hasn't had like a new push like that in a long time. Hmm. And it, as we've touched on before in this podcast, gravel today is, with the exception of drop bars, is exactly what that terrain was that we were riding these types of bikes on.
Mm.
So probably the through line to the derailleur I'm speaking of, to today's derailleur, would be, it pains me, GRX. Oh,
he's crying. There are actual tears.
Shimano dropped the ball harder than any other bike. I mean, they survived the pandemic the best out of all the big component manufacturers, because they have adhered to other stuff, fishing, namely fishing is what makes them money, but they aren't trying to grow as fast as some of these other companies. So they didn't overorder, they didn't overproduce during the pandemic, but they did come out with, in my opinion, might be the most heinous group ever produced, GRX, their gravel specific group. And it is one of the ugliest groups in the history of ugly, and which is a long history, folks. Ugly, that's a long history. Derailleurs of yesteryear were designed for doubles and or triples, and that's how you got your gear range. So you really only needed like 34 max teeth in the rear, and so you could shift a range like that with a, you know, with a derailleur that would look normal, so to speak. I don't know what looks normal today. The derailleurs are oftentimes triple the size.
I'm not that mad at it. It's
double.
Because it's,
I mean,
because
you got to see the whole thing together.
The back, like, cassette just ends up looking more and more dinner plate.
Yeah, it's the dinner plate cassette. It's one by,
that's why
SRAM helicopter outside our house. I was looking at us, you know, because I've been openly critical of SRAM, and they don't like that.
Right.
And so they've been tapping our phones.
Cointel Pro.
They've been doing a full investigation. Like driving by our mailbox each morning, checking the mail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are my Victoria's Secrets catalogs. And so, you know, it's SRAM pushed the one by, and SRAM made the derailleur what it is today, which is something that needs to shift a 52, 54, whatever tooth in the rear and one by up front. Terrible chain lines. Okay. Not only that, but they pushed the crank sets out further and further and further to deal with those, to make those chain lines even worse, because they have to, they don't use square taper bottom brackets anymore. So it's a one size fit all solution for your crank sets. So you have one spindle to choose from, or maybe two, and both of them put your feet like way out, like Donald Duck.
So you're quacking.
You're quacking. The Q factor is not even considered anymore because of this one by move. Okay.
Oh,
so
abomination.
An abomination. Shimano, to their credit, still does make two by systems. SRAM probably does too, but not for gravel. GRX does come in a two by, but that doesn't mean that the derailleur is looking any better. So, you know, in this last year, I tried with my Alumax 2 build. You could check that out on my YouTube. I think it was the last video I released. It's a pretty long time ago, like in February. I tried a one by system because of the Garbrook cranks. They had like a special like one by aero chain ring, and I just thought it looked cool, like retro futurist. And so I wanted to use this crank set, and that meant that I had to use a giant rear derailleur to make it all work, you know. And so I started with a Campi Eckart, because everyone knows that Campagnolo is the best thing that ever happened to bikes. Not everyone knows that, but yeah.
But the ones who do really know it.
Well said. And so, you know, I started with a Campi Eckart rear derailleur, which was slightly larger than, you know, what I'm used to using. And I tried to shift a 11-speed 1152 with that, and it just didn't like it. They really only like to go up to 48. So I was out in Arizona when this was all happening, and I really wanted this bike to work well because I was, you know, I was out riding Graf. And I put on that crank set and I kept on cycling through all of these derailleurs. First, I tried a Shimano XT Dynasys. Then I tried a Shimano XT Post Dynasys, whatever the hell all that means. Mm-hmm. I was using a bar end shifter because, you know, you can't get nice shifters these days. Like the hoods get all misshapen, the
gummy,
yeah. The levers just look ugly as hell. They feel cheap. So, you know, I wanted to use a bar end shifter. So I used a micro shift 11 speed bar end shifter and tried to match all this stuff up. And I would put on these two XT derailleurs and step back and look at the bike. And even if they worked, I didn't even take a single pedal stroke because I just couldn't look at it. And I put it back to the Campy Eckhart because I can't look at or ride a bike that just doesn't fit my aesthetic. And this just wasn't happening for me. So these derailleurs, you look at them, you weigh them. They're like double the weight. They're double the size, sometimes triple the size. The pulley wheels are all huge. I don't know what they're trying to do. You can't adjust them correctly. They're just fucking ugly. You got to get like, they want you to get like a universal derailleur hanger for this stuff. It's just, I understand that one by systems are easier for beginners to use. I understand the appeal of simplicity with all this stuff. I mean, Charlie Cunningham had a one by on his 1978 prototype, but it,
you know, what did the derailleur look like, though?
The derailleur was tiny. It was like, I don't even remember what the derailleur was, but it was, you know, it wasn't shifting a huge range. I think it was a 34 or 38 tooth range. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, it's just, he would have never have used one of these newer derailleurs. They just simply weigh too much. Okay, folks, Shimano XT, that used to be a high quality piece of gear. Okay. If you like look at these derailleurs now, they're like stamped. Like the machining is all off. It's just like ugly. You could tell, even though they were made in Japan, these things are budget basement. Like, yeah. It's just garbage.
It's like one of those Barbie dolls where the eyes are just like a little bit off.
Yes.
You know, they just like put that so it looks a little funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Precisely. So this is real trash. And a GRX derailleur is basically just like a shooshed up XT. So also looking gnarly. The way they have the logos on there, just
he's
ugly,
mad, folks.
Ugly, ugly. I mean, this is objectively and subjectively.
Coyote ugly.
These are ugly. This is ugly shit. Like no one could look at this and be like, oh, that is beautiful.
Mm.
And
the thing that really gets you mad about it is because it keeps people away from bikes because we want aesthetics.
Yeah, you want aesthetics and you don't want to just be dreaming up your dream ride that's going to bring you spiritual enlightenment. Mm-hmm. But the bicycle does.
Take you through the hero's journey.
You don't want to be looking down at that GRX or XT mm-hmm. rear derailleur. I mean, XTR even looks terrible. On and on and on and on. I hate to say it, folks, but SRAM has the best looking shit now.
Oy,
and
yoy.
I thought I'd never say that. I mean, well, the new Campy stuff is awesome. People aren't really, it's a very small part of the market share. It's going to be coming back, but between Shimano and SRAM, got to give it to SRAM. So maybe Shimano is going to be tapping our phones now. You know, you just can't get a break. I'm using, on some bikes that are in the stand right now, I am using the Madrone rear derailleurs.
Yeah. Are you wrapped up on your madness? Can we go into what's in the bike stand?
What's in the bike stand? So onto what's in the bike stand, I've got Fred's.
Wow, you've done a really good job keeping calm throughout that. I saw a couple of times where your face went really red and the brows were furrowed. But
well, it's nice to harp on these bigger companies because, I mean, I don't feel.
Do better.
Yeah, exactly.
Do better, Shimano.
Do better, Shimano. And so, you know, we've got this. I've got a bike in the stand right now that is a one by another Garbrook. I wanted to use like all orange Garbrook stuff on there. Garbrook is a Polish company, folks, that make lightweight, cool shit.
Yeah.
And so
I love that build. that you did
the
for
Fred? The build is hot. I finished it after like 5 months of fucking around, folks.
Well, there was a lot of Ron tinkerings.
A lot of Ron tinkering. Whenever I make
some oven cleaners to take to the seat posts.
This is the second bike I've made for this customer. The first one was the ice blue Alumax that I did a few years ago.
And now you're going really warm tone.
So now I'm going warm tone. I don't know. I like making bikes for this guy. He just really appreciates it. And lets, like all the customers, they just kind of let me do my thing. And
he lives up the road.
Yeah. So this one is a Evu. So my R29er mountain bike, aluminum mountain bike made by Frank the Welder. And I had, he sent me a photo of his surfboard and said, make me a bike like this. Mm-hmm. And so I used that, all oranges, mango, and I finally got it all together this week. The thing that was holding me back was I needed PNW Components doesn't make their 27.2 silver dropper anymore. I know. I'm not a dropper post guy.
I love them.
You love them. I learned to mountain bike with a saddle directly in my junk. And when it's not there,
directly in the recty.
And without that direct connection to the bike, saddle and rectum, yeah, I lose track of where my bike is. So I've made myself very flexible at getting behind the bike saddle over 30 years of doing so.
And it is true.
I don't need a dropper post.
Yeah. I'd rather have riding behind you and watching you navigate some of those descents on your Atlantis just this past weekend.
Stuff I like to do.
Yeah.
And yeah,
very elegant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have a more lightweight, flexible seat post. But
wait, what about me and my elegance?
Yeah. What do you?
Hello.
Your elegance is off the charts. You
I also
embody elegance.
Yes. Yeah. Descend very elegantly,
folks. For not riding that much in the past 2 years or so, you have retained all of your handling characteristics. Like, people don't ride like you.
I love this. Go on.
That, you know, you have such a natural ability to look so, not only so good on the bike, but handle your bike so well. And you're not scared. You're not like intimidated by drops or going down too fast. Or if you are, you
I'm
don't
screaming.
Let it get to you. You are in your screaming phase. This is a new thing, the screaming.
Well, it's because I'm scared, but I know my body can do it. So I'm just screaming through it.
Oh, you're excellent at descending in particular, and climbing up things, keeping traction. You just have good body awareness. You're a natural athlete. You know it. Things like this come easy to you.
Rie said that about me too at the climbing gym. So thank you.
Yeah, things like that come easy. Sometimes it's hard to
keep it going
because you're like, I don't have to. I could just come off the couch and do a bike tour like this with my friends and outperform them going
up and
downhill.
I definitely did not outperform anybody. I was DFL the whole time. But thank you for this compliment, Brake. It's really nice.
And you like dropper posts.
I do.
Although we don't have a bike with a dropper post with you on it right now.
I don't. But for the last Tour Divide attempt 2023, I keep bringing this up because it's in memory right now. I had that, the quick release.
Oh, the height right.
The height right.
The old fashioned quick
release. It was awesome on one of those Fleecer Ridge, like down into Eureka descents, because I popped that thing down and noticed that I had some bests.
Both.
Yeah.
So,
on Strava, I had some bests.
Yeah,
I was second in 2023 for Fleecer Ridge down.
Really?
Just right behind Lale. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
On Strava?
On Strava.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. I screenshotted it because I was like so close to the QAM that I was like, I got to get this.
The Fleecer Ridge DH, you're second, you think, right now?
I don't know about right now, but I was in 2023.
I'm going to continue talking about what's in the stand. Would you look up?
Let me go
would
confirm.
You, yeah, okay. Go confirm.
Please talk about Fred's bike. Specifically, talk about what you did with the saddle.
Yeah, so.
That was really cute.
So, yeah, the saddle, the whole saddle area. Yeah, first, I had to get a Fox Transfer SL post. It is the lightest dropper post you can get. It's also like, I don't know, $450. And it came in 27.2. But I put it on there at black, and I was like, everything on this bike is silver and orange. Nothing. I can't put a black seat post, even though it has the gold Kashima coating on the top of it. So I followed Radovis' instructions when John was stripping his seat posts, And you can look that up if you're curious on their website and followed the instructions. And John was only using like 15 minutes. Well, I had to use 90 minutes of oven cleaner on this seat post to get the black off. So that's what I did. Came out pretty well. So nice and silver. I polished it up a little bit with Mother's afterwards. And then sitting on top of this seat post, I had to really scour the internet for a natural colored Brooks Cambium. I don't know why they don't have more colors offered with all this stuff, but I found a nice natural colored Brooks Cambium and got those little, you know, the rivets on the Brooks Cambium are easily taken off. I was really impressed by how easily I could access the rails and click off all those little rivets on top. And I replaced them with anodized orange rivets. So I'm going to bring everything in. I'm working on an actual YouTube video on this build, so I should have that out next week or so, as soon as the customer comes up and I get to size them for their dropper. So that is a really beautiful bike. I think it came out really well. I'm very proud of it. So I can't wait for you to see it on the YouTube when the time comes. The other bike that I have in the stand was a personal bike this week. It was, as Aria calls it, the Das Klein.
Das Klein.
She's over there peeing.
Das Klein.
She's back. Okay, yeah. The Das Klein, probably remember my chubby road bike build. I love old aluminum. I mean, all Kleins are aluminum. I love aluminum, so obviously I love Kleins. This is a Klein Pinnacle. It's got like a teal, we call that a teal green paint job. I put a Bontrager switchblade fork on there with the bolt-on fork legs. It's got a Ringlay wheel set. Ringlay hubs laced to some 517 rims, and I've got, you know, a 3x8 shifting, and it's got I took a Thompson seat post, and Thompson seat posts don't look great with Brooks saddles, in my opinion, but it isn't the seat post, folks. It's the logo. It's just the Thompson logo doesn't look right with a classic saddle. So I just,
modern
font. Yeah. So yeah. I just colored it in and left Elite. What? Oh, Patrick is calling me.
Patrick is calling.
Not yet, Pat. And so I colored it in and just left Elite. So it usually says Thompson. I just left Elite because that's what really matters, folks. Is it Elite or is it not? And then up front, to make it more rideable, I had a really like a reverse rise stem on it with drop bars earlier in its inception. And then I moved up to Albatross bars, and it just didn't look right. I think I rode it once. It felt right. It just didn't look right. And then this time around, I put on a Tioga T-Bone positive 25-degree rise stem, jacked those handlebars up there. A lot of people don't realize that when you're drop barring a 26-inch mountain bike, like those handlebars have got to be up way higher than you think they got to be, because these bikes, especially for larger people, are very compact. Like this bike looks like a Bike Friday. Honestly,
cool.
In my size, because it's a 26-inch mountain bike and we're on to 32s already. So it's really fun to put in the canoe to paddle across to Chester because it's such a tiny bike. It just fits right in the canoe. It rides really, really great. I've got our Ultra Dynamico Kava JFF 26-inch by 2.1 tires on there. So it's nice and speedy. I've got some purple Paul Cannies on there. Yeah, it's just a cool bike. I flared the handlebars out even more, so it's even more of a dirt drop in the bench vise. So, yeah, I'll probably have some photos. I'm still kind of dialing it in. I got some vintage Cinelli rainbow cork tape that I'm going to be wrapping on there. I'm kind of like thinking more on the lines of the Tomac Raleigh days where he was riding that dirt drop mountain bike to victory all over the place. Blah, blah, blah. It's got a Tomac feel to it. It's got a dirt drop mountain bike that rides like a modern day alt bike. It just feels right. Feels really good. So more on that to come, pictures and all on ronsbikesblog.com once I get it all ripped in. So right now I'm looking over and I'm looking at Aria Strava. So downhill from the pass,
the ride segment from Lake Kukanusa, Canada. That is what I had the second in.
Uh-huh.
I had the eighth on Fleecer Ridge Descent as my trophy.
Currently.
No, in 2023. Okay. I don't even have the second on this anymore because now it is Megan.
Everything's getting so much quicker.
Yeah, yeah.
It's we just understand so much more about these.
But it was this descent where I popped down that.
What tires were you on Mars?
I was on Mars, I believe.
650 beat, it's 27.5 by 2.2 ultradynamical Mars, both
that
years.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Really pretty bike.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had.
Yeah, yeah. So, boy.
So I had the eighth on the Fleecer Ridge descent that year, which was,
so it was
crazy.
Just that.
I wasn't really trying.
Mm-hmm. But that's an Amdahl for you, everyone. That is somebody who, I mean, these things come naturally. You're a natural athlete.
I guess. I'm Himalayan. Got Denisovian genes in me.
So that's what's in the stand, folks. So we get on some pro cycling gossip as advertised?
That's right. So tune out if you don't like racing as a part of the alt scene, because we do. Mm-hmm. Right now, especially. So the Tour de Suisse just ended for the men's and women's. It was a 5-day stage race of the men's. Tadej Pogačar just kind of swept the floor. He looked a little bored, honestly. Mm. Just took all of it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Won three out of the five stages.
Yeah. And I think Narváez won one of the other ones. So it was a UAE sweep.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the women's side, Marlen Roser, a Swiss rider herself with the number one pinned to her back this year, won again. Cedrine Carbal from EF was second. And our Kasia Nwedoma-Finney, homegirl, was third. But they were like within tenths of a second to each other.
Really?
And the speaking of tenths of seconds, it was exciting to see Tadej's time trial
during the Tour de Suisse.
Matthew Vanderpoel.
We had Vanderpoel on the Vanderpoel, not necessarily known for his time trials, but he put in an exceptionally good time trial early on because he's, as time trials go, they put the wherever you stand in the GC, that's how they put you last if you're up high in the GC. Mm-hmm. So Vanderpoel, not very high in the GC, being not a GC contender, did his time trial early on. And so was in the hot seat, literal hot seat, because it was like 90 plus degrees on this particular day in Europe, in Switzerland. So as the glaciers melt, Vanderpoel is sitting there in the hot seat with his skin suit pulled down to expose his upper body. And I remember walking into the room, you were watching it, and I would be like, rewind it. She's like, no, they're showing plenty of Matthew Vanderpoel's
shirtless bod.
And lo and behold, I got to peep at it a few other times. As expected, six-pack abs.
Yeah, he's an athlete, of
Pretty skinny otherwise, but, you know, he looked good.
Yeah.
But he may have looked good in our eyes, but in the eyes of the UCI.
Ugh.
Because, okay, well, he had to sit there for a few hours.
The UCIs did not like it.
Tadej did end up winning, but by like 3/10 of a second.
Yeah.
Crazy. And so Vanderpoel at the end, shirtless and all, is like, oh, of course, I'll get down.
Then
to add insult to injury, the UCI fines Vanderpoel, I don't know how much, but for being shirtless on TV, essentially. So... yeah, you know, it's tradition is great on one hand, but it's not great on many hands at this point right now. Can we be holding on to tradition in the modern world? Everything is changing. We just need these elderlies.
We need craft and pleasure.
We need these elderlies to just...
We don't need...
Go away and let us run our sports.
Please.
These are young
people. People who want to be shirtless when it's hot as... fuck outside
or shirtless whenever.
Fine.
I mean, come on. These are things that are good for the sport.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to fine Vanderpoel for showing off his hot bod on national television. You know, people were just tuning in because once word got around that Vanderpoel had his shirt off, we all want to see that.
Yeah.
You know, and
second episode of Love Island.
Don't all want to see that.
I swear, I got to stop watching that shit.
So, you know, as it goes.
So there's that.
Yeah.
It does look like the Tour Divide record's going to be beat by another French
Oh, yeah.
Frenchman.
24-year-old Frenchman.
He's 24. Oh, wow. He does look really young.
What's his name?
Rides for Factor.
What's his name?
His name is Victor Bossoni. He is going to be beating Robin Gumparl's record because at 11 days, he's like less than 100 miles.
Yeah. Live right now. We're 11 days into the Tour Divide.
It's so wild.
And we're looking at this dot and I guess probably finishing today.
Yeah, he's actually going to finish in just a few hours.
I was tuning into bikepacking.com to get some more information on the race report. I don't know if I'm just looking in the wrong places. I guess you really have to follow along with these people.
You just got to look at
these people's individual Instagrams.
Or you follow us for updated news on this because, just in 11 days, finishing is pretty wild.
Yeah.
The French are coming and
the French cyclists, you have Paul Meunier and Paul Sexas. We've got in the upcoming tour, we've got some real contention. And then and the Tour Divide, they're coming at us too.
They're coming for their records we can do nothing but look and you try to ride faster and
keep going.
It is quite the challenge. It's hard to say.
That was good.
It's hard to say that the women will also beat these. okay, now I've gone to another accent. It also looks like Megan will likely beat Austin Killips' record as well because she is further up at the moment.
So two records about to be broken on the Tour Divide this year.
Megan
have had pretty good weather.
The virtual lead right
this
now.
Last week. Yeah. And packed roads, just really good conditions.
Amazing.
So also in pro cycling gossip, we've got the two. So going forward to the Tour de France, between now and the Tour de France, well, I guess this past weekend, we had the U.S. national road races.
Mm-hmm.
So to see who would be the U.S. national champions going into the Tour de France. And once again, we've got
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, a.k.a. Quinn Simmons, for his third national title in a row. Granted, Brendan McNulty was in the Tour de Suisse. And has Brendan McNulty been the U.S. champ before?
I think so, yeah.
So for a third time, it's cool. I mean, personally, it is Quinn Simmons does have like a really American look, like a wrestler. He's doing like the pro wrestling thing pretty well, which is uniquely American.
Hollywood Hogan.
Precisely. He's got the Hulk mustache. He's got the long hair, the sideburns. He wears the Pirelli trucker hat because he's sponsored by Pirelli tires, on the podium. And he's there again. He's going to be in that Stars and Stripes Captain America outfit in the Tour de France, no doubt attacking at the front and then being caught right before the line.
Yeah.
But for an American cyclist, I feel like if you're going to be a character, it's a pretty good look.
Yep.
Regardless of the politics, it's a pretty good look. And then for the women's, who won the
I forgot her name. It's in here. My bad, y'all. I guess I'm also out of the news for racing.
We could say an American has won the American national champions.
It's Kay Courtney,
of course. Yeah. That's a big name. So some familiar faces in the Stars and Bars once again.
That's it.
No, you wanted to talk
about Primoz. I wanted to talk about Primoz Roglic's character arc because he went from juicy darling to kind of a villain when he had his
goatee.
Villain goatee. And now maybe he did an ayahuasca journey or something. Mm-hmm. He's super chill and funny and make jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just love seeing those characters.
I mean, he's of little consequence. No one really is scared of him winning.
I think he likes that.
I think doesn't have a lot of pressure on him anymore.
Yeah.
He's living out his final seasons on Bora.
Exactly. We caught the end of Peter Sagan's career in road racing when he was like, yeah, so you guys don't like bother me all the time anymore. I had fun race.
You know? That was really good.
Thanks. So yeah, you don't bother me. Yeah,
it's great that we don't have to pay for these quotes because you could just recreate them.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, that's really great.
I can do voices.
Yeah. So it's just
so
cool.
So long to the Tour de Suisse women's, mm-hmm. and looking forward to the women's racing ahead.
So the Tour de France Femmes, is that, I'm sorry, Tour de France Femmes Avec Zwift, does that come after the men's tour?
That's a really good question.
Because the Tour de France starts, the Grand Depart is in Barcelona.
And starts August 1st.
For the women's. Because the men's starts July 4th. Okay, so it's the next month.
Yeah. Which is good, because I do think that they need a separate thing. It's a completely different product, so it needs a separate thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hot no matter what, mm-hmm. I could imagine. Mm-hmm. Well, we are at an hour and 21 minutes. Do we got anything else to talk about before we say goodbye to these kind folks?
We are saying goodbye.
We forgot to give our shout outs to new supporters.
Oh my gosh, we do have some new supporters. Did we shout out Ben O'Brien? Because
no, we didn't.
Ben is a gem.
Man, I'm sorry, Ben, you're getting a shout out after Pro Cycling News. Anyone's still listening here.
thank you, Ben O'Brien. You the best, and you know it.
Uh-huh.
There is Nihar Bhatt.
Mm-hmm.
There is Sarah Ann and Kevin Candelaria.
Was Sean Clark in there?
Thank you so much. I think I did Sean Clark last week.
Yeah, after the other John Watson.
Thank you.
So yeah,
Nihar, okay. Ben, Sarah, and Kevin.
Mm-hmm. So, wow, we have $90 monthly recurring revenue. Before the 15% is taken out.
$90.
So, folks, we're going to go ahead and eat that extra ice cream this Friday.
We're going to do it.
Well, sweetie, it's awfully nice to have you back here in the studio.
It's good to be back.
Mm-hmm. Missed you while you were gone. I miss you every day when you're not right here in front of me to hug and hold and kiss.
He's as obsessed with me as Shimano is with tapping our phone lines.
Oh my God, we should check in on that. So hopefully Shimano and SRAM don't make this podcast unavailable to you.
Or take bats to our kneecaps.
Yeah.
You know,
folks, it's only $90 a month.
We need those kneecaps.
Yeah, it's $90 a month. We're not going to be able to afford the security service. So, folks,
Thanks for tuning in
to WKY Jelly on your AM/FM dial. I am Ronnie Romance.
I'm Aria Holm.
And I hope you all have a fantastic first week of summer.
Bye.
Bye.